Take your Bibles, if you would, and open to the book of Exodus, second book in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, and look at verse 12 with me. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Yes, this is part of the Ten Commandments. A couple of months ago, we began on Wednesday nights a study of the Ten Commandments. And last week, we came to the fifth commandment. And when I began to prepare the lesson, I remember that Father's Day was coming up, and so, ordinarily Lou preaches on Sunday morning and I do Sunday nights, but he agreed to switch services with me today and to allow me to preach on this commandment this morning. This is, as are all of the commandments, very far-reaching in its application. It has truth that's not just for young children and teenagers, but for children of all ages. It's so important, as a matter of fact, that not only is it restated in the New Testament, but it is reinforced as well. And so, just to see that, let me take you over to the book of Ephesians. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and let me show you the New Testament restatement of this commandment. Ephesians chapter 6, and beginning in verse 1, verses 1 through 4, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Now, why is this commandment so important? Well, there are several reasons that I'd like to share with you. And number one is just the basic. Parenting is an honorable occupation. If children must give honor to their parents, then parenting must be an honorable profession. Now, I shouldn't have to say that, but in today's world, it's necessary because bearing and rearing children is viewed by a growing segment of our society as something far less than a blessing. That, of course, flies in the face of the teaching of the Bible. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 127, verses 3 through 5, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." God's word teaches us that parenting is a worthy activity. But not only is parenting an honorable occupation, parenting also reflects our relationship with God. If you're a Christian, when you have children, you learn a lot about your relationship with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." And that word Abba is a Hebrew term, a Hebrew word, and the closest thing that we have to it in English is the word daddy. That's the kind of relationship that we have with God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, he gave to them the authority to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name." Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." See, we're to be on our best behavior, not just because it's right, but also because it reflects on our heavenly Father. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews tells us that God disciplines us because if we are Christians, if we've been born again, we are His children. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives." What's that mean? It means that when we get out of line, God gives us a spanking. And some of us more than others. God disciplines us, and we are in turn to discipline our children. And if you don't discipline your children, if you don't use corporal punishment and spank your kids, then you're in disobedience to the Word of God. But not only is parenting an honorable profession, not only is parenting a reflection of our relationship with God, but the home is the first divine institution, and from it came all other relationships. See, the strength of any home is largely determined by its attitude toward the fifth commandment. You say, how's that, BJ? Well, how do we honor our parents? What does it mean to honor your parents? Well, let me give you some biblical examples. First of all, honor is preferential. That is, when we honor someone, we distinguish them from someone else. Honoring someone sets them apart. See, honoring someone sets them above others. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." Honoring parents means to think highly of them in contrast to esteeming them lightly. But not only is honor preferential, honor is positional. And people sometimes have trouble with this, but it's true nevertheless. When people are honored in the Bible, they are honored largely because of the position that they hold. It's important because those whom we are commanded to honor in the Bible are most often those who hold a certain position of distinction. God is honored because He is the sovereign God of the universe. Kings, rulers, elders, and masters are all to be given honor because of their position. That doesn't mean necessarily that they've done something or anything to deserve honor. As a matter of fact, the opposite may be true, but honor is still to be afforded to them. You know, Brenda and I, in our family devotion, have been reading through the book of 1 Samuel. We're reading through the Old Testament. We read through the New Testament first, and we went back and we're reading through 1 Samuel, reading through the Old Testament together, and we're in 1 Samuel. And in that book, we learn that when King Saul was pursuing David and trying to kill him, on two separate occasions, God gave David the opportunity to kill Saul. And on both of those occasions, he refused to do so. And when he was asked later why, David replied, "God forbid that I should raise my hand against the Lord's anointed." In other words, He is my king, and I will honor Him even though he seeks my life. And that really is a whole sermon in itself that I'd like to pursue. I don't have time to do that, but I would like to, because the principle applies to more than just the home. It applies at work, it applies in politics, it applies in every situation where we relate to any person in an honored position. And parents are also to be honored for their position in the family. And so honor has to do with the position, and I'll say some more about that here in a little bit. But not only is honor preferential, not only is honor positional, honor is public. The act of honoring parents begins with an attitude of respect for them. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3 says, "Each of you must respect his mother and father." We must respect, the Bible says, our mother and father. But that attitude is to be made evident by the way that we treat our parents, or by the way that we talk about our parents in public. Because, see, if we honor them in their presence, but we dishonor them in their absence, then really all we've done is dishonor them. Now, not only is honor preferential, not only is honor positional, not only is it public, but honor is practical. Honoring another requires more than lip service. Now, it begins with the attitude. Then it plays out in life. Honor is practical. It requires more than just lip service. You know, Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, the Lord says, "These people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." All right? So God says, you know, people talk about me reverently, but they don't live lives that follow up on that. The honor that God requires is an honor which translates into very practical terms, whether it is directed toward God or toward man. Now, something else that I want you to see. Notice that there is no particular action required by the fifth commandment. That is, children are not told here to do anything in particular to honor their parents. Why not? Well, because different actions will be required at different times of different people. And we have to look elsewhere in Scripture to determine how we're to honor our parents at any given point in time. By the way, folks, that's why you need to be well acquainted with the Word of God. Because you'll find many principles like that, things that we're to follow, but you don't just find it all written down in one place. And you need to know what the Bible as a whole teaches so that you can bring it together and that you can bring passages of Scripture to bear on whatever issue or whatever problem or whatever circumstance or whatever situation or whatever question that you might have. For instance, as far as this question of honoring or dishonoring parents, the dishonor of parents can be in physically striking them, Exodus chapter 21, verse 15. Can be in robbing them, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 26. And also a child can dishonor his parents by living a lifestyle which is contrary to that of his parents and society, including disobedience, stubbornness, rebelliousness, drunkenness, and gluttony. That's Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. But then, parenting is something else. Not only is parenting honorable, and not only does parenting reflect our relationship with God, not only is the home the first divine institution, and from it came all other relationships, but number four, the fifth commandment plays a special role with respect to the rest of the commandments. The laws of God were to be passed to subsequent generations of Israelites, primarily from the parents to the children. And it still is today. The Word of God, the Christian faith, our heritage, our belief, the way of salvation, passed down. That's one of the greatest means of evangelism, is to pass it down. And that's why there is such an emphasis in Deuteronomy on teaching the law to children. I'm not going to ask you to turn over there now, but you ought to write this down. And if you haven't done so already, you ought to commit these verses to memory. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." When is that? Virtually all the time. Virtually all the time. That is, use every occasion as a teaching opportunity to teach them the principles and the applications of the Word of God. And if children are going to listen to their parents and learn to love the Word of God, they must first respect and honor their fathers and mothers. The honoring of parents is a prerequisite to the teaching of the Word of God from one generation to another. So again, the fifth commandment is necessary to the passing of our faith from generation to generation. Now, there's a fifth thing that I want you to know. And if you haven't heard anything else I've said today, remember this. The fifth commandment establishes a pattern of behavior. Notice that it is accompanied by a promise. It says there in Exodus chapter 20, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The Ephesians 6 restatement in the New Testament says that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, what does that mean? How does the fifth commandment prepare you for a prosperous life? Listen to this very carefully. It establishes the principle of submission to authority. Now, let me say that again because I want you to hear it. It establishes the principle of submission to authority. Well, why is that important? Listen, because, listen, you will never be in a place, you will never be in a position in all your life where you are not under someone's authority. And submission to authority is basic to life, whether it's at home, at school, at work, in a sport, in the military, in government. There must be submission to authority in order to prevent chaos. And God knows that the sooner it is learned, the easier life will be, the better life will be, and the more prosperous life will be. The reason many people can't keep a job is because they can't submit to authority. Sometimes the reason young people don't stay in school is for the same reason. The root cause for many divorces is the failure of a man to submit himself to the authority of God, or the failure of a wife to submit herself to the authority of her husband, or both, very often. But also, something else you need to know about authority, and I want you to understand this. You can never wield authority unless you're willing to yield to authority. See, the reason a policeman has authority over you is because he's under the authority of those who are placed over him. You know, if all he did was wear his civilian clothes and stand on the corner and yell at you when you went by, you wouldn't pay any attention, right? But he has on a uniform, and he has a gun, and he has a whistle, and he has a badge, and all of those are symbols of the authority that backs him. Because you know that behind him is the authority of the city government, or the county government, or the state government, or whatever the case may be. He is under their authority, and because he is under their authority, he has authority over you. The reason a sergeant has authority over a private or a captain has authority over a lieutenant is because they are under the authority of those that are placed over them. And the moment, listen, the moment that they step out from under the authority that is over them, they lose the authority over those placed under them. That's often the reason why a wife can't get her children to obey her is because she's not under the authority of her husband. It may be that the reason she is disobedient to her husband has direct relation to the fact that he is not under the authority that's set over him, whether that be in his work or his submission to God. That's a biblical principle. Again, I wish we had time to really delve into that and to look at it. There's several things here that we're just having to skip over, but sometime go find the passage where the Roman centurion comes to Jesus and asks him to heal his son. And he says, but you don't need to come to my house. He says, I know that you can heal him. And Jesus does that. But in the meantime, when he's conversing with Jesus, here's what this centurion says. He says, I know you can heal him. Because he says, I too am a man under authority, and I tell this man to go and that man to come, and they do what I say. Now, he didn't say, I'm a man who has authority. He says, he understood this principle. He said, I'm a man who's under authority. And because I'm under the authority of the Roman government, because I'm under the authority of those who are placed over me, I have the authority to tell this person to go and that person to come, and they do that. And Jesus, I know that you're under the authority of Almighty God, and if you just say the word, my son will be healed. That's what happened. See, it's a biblical principle. It is a biblical principle. It's a universal principle. You cannot be over unless you're willing to be under. And it's a principle that will plague you for the rest of your life if you don't learn it early. And so here's the point. And so God saw to it that it was a part of the foundation of the family. Number six. The key to the stability of society is respect for parents and their authority. You often hear people say, well, as goes the family, so goes the nation. Now, people question that and say, well, you know, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the attitudes that are learned in the home don't stay in the home, do they? Those attitudes are carried to school, and then into adulthood, and then into the workplace, and so into the social development of a culture. And we're seeing that today in the lack of respect shown, or even the outright rejection of authority in our culture. And the result of the years that the Ten Commandments have been banned from public education and replaced with atheism and humanism. And the generation that grew up without the daily influence of God's law is now having children and grandchildren who are growing up in a pagan culture. Now, I know some of you say, well, America's not a pagan nation. America is a godly nation. America was founded on biblical principles. Yes, America was founded on biblical principles, but in the last 50 years, America has experienced a major cultural shift, and those are no longer the guiding principles of our nation. We live in a pagan nation. And all you have to do is look around and compare what's going on in our nation now with the Roman Empire when the New Testament authors wrote these books, and you'll find there's a great deal of similarity, and it increases more every day. And the proliferation of violence and drugs and sexual promiscuity and perversion that characterized not just colleges, but high schools and middle schools and the media and really the culture as a whole is a direct result of the absence of the moral law being placed before our families, our young people. So why is this commandment so often broken? Well, right or wrong, sometimes parents' performance doesn't merit honor. What if a person has parents who are not worthy of honor? How can such children honor their parents if they're not worthy of honor? Well, when we honor our parents, we acknowledge that they've been ordained by God to be our parents and to receive our honor. And honoring our parents who are not worthy of honor can only be done as you recognize that God has appointed them to be parents and that they are honored for their God-given position as a parent, not for their performance as a parent. Okay? When a child honors an unworthy, unkind parent and does so because he or she recognizes that God has appointed them to hold this position of authority and honor, they are submitting themselves to the sovereign hand of God, and because they know that God causes all things to ultimately work together for good in the believer's life. And it's often the weakness of the parent in those cases that brings about the corresponding strength in the child. Also, honoring parents doesn't always mean that the child does what his parents want. Now, if children are living under the parents' roof, regardless of their age, then it's more necessary that they heed their parents' wishes. I thought it was interesting the other day, I heard about a 30-something-year-old guy whose parents finally took him to court to get him to move out of the house. And the court said, get out. That's sad. Our children, of course, are grown and married and have families, and they give great honor to Brenda and me. But that doesn't mean they always do what we want them to. But as long as what they do is not contrary to the Word of God, then that's okay. They're not going to adopt all of your priorities, all of your values, but the basics they will. But parents, you see, are not to be honored because they are perfect, but because they're parents. They, like their children, are plagued with a fallen nature. They, like their children, sin, and they will make mistakes in the parenting process. And while a young child must assume that his parents are right because they have more experience and wisdom, as a child begins to mature, he may then begin to question some decisions. But even then, that has to be done very carefully. And disobedience should only occur when the Bible has spoken very directly to the matter at hand. That is, if a parent asks or demands a child to do something that is expressly forbidden in Scripture. And then there's another reason this command is often broken today. And this one might make you scratch your head at first. And that is, there is also the impact of technology. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, in previous generations, fathers were often craftsmen who learned their trade from their own fathers and then passed it down to their children. Mothers were homemakers who had great skills of their own, which they passed to their daughters. And it took the child years to match their parents' skills, and they would only gradually equal them or pass them up. But now, a child in elementary school may be learning things that his parents never heard of. So each new generation quickly surpasses the preceding generation in the knowledge that it possesses. And so there is this great temptation for the younger generation to think of its parents as outdated and antiquated in their thinking. And in a society where knowledge is prized more than wisdom, the older generation is rapidly losing that place of honor that God has given them. Now, that shouldn't be a problem for believers, because we have a wonderful example to follow, because Jesus both taught and exemplified obedience to this commandment. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 19, the Bible says, "Do not think that I have come," Jesus is speaking, "do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is established. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Luke chapter 2, verse 51 says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them," speaking of his parents, "but his mother treasured all these things in her heart." John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27, "When Jesus saw his mother there, the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son,' and to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, the disciple took her into his home." Well, how does that illustrate obedience to the fifth commandment? Because Jesus, on the cross, there made arrangements for his mother's care in her old age. The eldest son, he would be the one responsible for caring for her in her old age. And so he made arrangements there for her, right down to the last minute. Jesus was obedient to this commandment. Now, here's a question. When are you old enough to quit honoring your parents? Never. You say, well, wait a minute, what about Genesis chapter 2:24? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Well, there comes a point when we are no longer subject to our parents' authority, but there is never a time when we are given permission not to honor them. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Here's in the Old Testament and in the teaching of Jesus, failure to honor parents by caring for their needs is spoken of as a very serious offense. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, it was a capital offense. In the New Testament, it is a denial of the faith equated with that of an unbeliever. Because as we read that Jesus said, Christianity does not abolish Old Testament obligations to honor parents. Rather, it ratifies and clarifies them. And those whose parents have aged to the point of becoming confused, disoriented, or even difficult, find themselves in the awkward position of having to discipline their parents, much like their parents once disciplined them. And so the way we honor our parents does change. It's ironic, but honoring our parents may someday in their final years of life require parenting your parents. Some of you are there now, others of us have been. The parent that once fed and diapered the child may in the last days of their life be fed and diapered by their children. The new baby that didn't recognize their parents may someday not be recognized by his parents. Sometimes elderly parents become cross and unreasonable. They may make demands of us and of our family that are impossible to fulfill. They sometimes become incoherent and unmanageable. They may not be able to care for themselves or to live alone. And the decisions that we make at those times are the most painful ones, really, of our lives. Very difficult, very hard. And when the time for these decisions come, listen, here it is again. When the time for those decisions come, it must be determined whether any clear scriptural commands are involved. And if so, how these must be implemented. Turn to the Word of God. The impact of various choices on family as a whole has to be taken into account. And naturally, the best interest of the parents must be carefully thought through. And at least three factors are involved in the determination of what course of action will be best for the parent. Number one, we have an obligation to preserve life. The necessities of life must be provided. Food and shelter and clothing and in time maybe even oxygen or life-sustaining fluids must be provided. And today in our culture, too frequently these necessities are being withheld and with the inevitable result being death, but in my understanding of the scripture, withholding the necessities of life constitutes murder. But not only must we preserve life, but we must seek to provide as much physical and emotional comfort as possible. The setting should be one that is familiar and pleasant as possible. And this may mean keeping the parent in your home. And then number three, honoring our parents requires that we maintain as much dignity for them as possible. And so again, honoring parents takes different forms in different circumstances and at different times. A young child honors his parents by obeying them. The older child honors his parents as he or she is obedient to God. And the child whose parents are dependent on him or her honors their parents by providing for them in their declining years. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is providing you, the fifth commandment, a great deal more important and far-reaching, I trust, than many have thought.